Hare Krishna. Today is a very special day for a number of reasons. First, we are in the special month of Kartik, which is especially beneficial for spiritual advancement. It is said that whatever devotional practices one executes in the month of Kartik, the benefit is multiplied by 1,000 times. So the fact that you have come in Kartik is already special. Today, we are entering into the last few days of Kartik, called Bhishma Panchaka. And there are some extra performances that can be done in Bhishma Panchaka. But it is said that whatever you do in these last days of Kartik, it's as if you did them for the entire month of Kartik. So it's another very special opportunity. Today is also Ekadasi, which is one of our predecessors says it's the mother of devotion, such days. And it is also the disappearance day of our spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada's grand spiritual master, Srila Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj. And therefore we have a special seat for him today with his picture, so that we can remember him and worship him and serve him and get his special mercy. One of the fundamental principles of devotional service is to accept a spiritual master. One of Lord Chaitanya's main disciples, Srila Rupa Goswami, on Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instruction, compiled a book called The Nectar of Devotion, or the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, in which he details the complete science of Bhakti Yoga. And there are 10 preliminary items that one should perform, and there are 10 preliminary items that one should avoid. And then there are another 64 items that constitute the complete practice of Bhakti Yoga. So, as I mentioned, the first 10 preliminary items are dues, and the second 10 preliminary items are don'ts. And the first several items relate to accepting a spiritual master. First, Ado Guru Padashraya. One should take shelter of the lotus feet of a bona fide spiritual master. Dikshati, one should take initiation from him. Shikshati. One should take instructions from him. And Sadharma Pritcha. One should inquire into one's eternal constitutional activities. Dharma is sometimes translated as duty or occupational duty or constitutional activity. And sat means eternal. We may have many duties in the material world. We have our duties to our parents, to our spouses, to our children, to our community, to our nation, even to humanity, if one's consciousness is expanded to that extent. We have so many duties and so many debts to pay. But the duties in the material world are asat, which means temporary, and one could even say unreal. So one approaches a spiritual master, Sadharma Pritcha, to inquire about eternal, spiritual duties. In this life, I may be very concerned about serving my community. But in my next life, I may be born in another community and have another set of duties. Srila Prabhupada, our spiritual preceptor, gave the example that in this life, I may be Indian, and I may think that I have to protect India from Pakistan, but in my next life I may take birth in Pakistan and think I have to protect Pakistan from India. Just the opposite. And we very much identify with the body and things related to the body, and we perform duties in relation to the body, which is temporary. Another example that Srila Prabhupada gave way back in the 1970s was that people are very worried about the supply of petroleum. Where will the energy come from to run the cars for my grandchildren? He's so worried about his grandchildren. But he's not thinking that he may take birth as an insect in that car. He has no idea who he is or what future awaits him. And so he wastes his time on all these temporary duties in relation to the body. So this is asat. And one should not approach a spiritual master to inquire about asat, temporary, illusory duties, but Sadharma Pritcha, one should inquire about one's eternal constitutional duties. There's another verse in Srimad Bhagavatam that Shreya Uttamam, that one should approach a spiritual master when one is inquisitive about Shreya Uttamam, the ultimate benefit of life. There are two words in Sanskrit, Shreya, which means ultimate benefit, and Prayas, which means immediate gratification. Generally, children are interested in Prayas. They just want to play and enjoy. If they had a choice, most children would not choose to go to school. But their parents tell them, you must go to school. If you don't go to school and learn now, you will suffer later. You will not be equipped to face life. So even though you want to play, but it's not in your ultimate interest to just play, you should go to school, and that will give you benefit in the future. So spiritually, most people are like children. They just want to play. Play at finding a girlfriend, finding a boyfriend, getting married, having a house, earning money, having a car, having children, educating the children, getting the children married, then the children have grandchildren, and it's like you start all over again. It's as if you were having children again, and on and on and on. And there's nothing wrong with those activities, but they're temporary. They're not Saddharma. They're not Shreyas. They're not our ultimate interest. Our ultimate interest is to serve Krishna, to revive our eternal relationship with Krishna. Nate vidu swartha gatim hi vishnu. It's natural to be concerned about your self-interest, but you should know what your real self is. And then you can ascertain what your self-interest is. So your real self is not the body, but you are part and parcel of Krishna, and therefore your real self-interest is to serve the Supreme Self, Krishna. So when one awakens to that understanding, one should approach a spiritual master, not for any material gain, gross or subtle. So about 1800s. Yes, so one other point, many of you know, but still, just to make it clear. The spiritual master must be coming in parampara. Parampara means literally one after the other. disciplic succession. Because Sri Guru Padashaya at the beginning is to accept the shelter of the lotus feet of the spiritual master. So one accepts the shelter of the lotus feet of a spiritual master who has accepted the shelter of the lotus feet of a spiritual master, whose spiritual master in turn accepted the shelter of the lotus feet of his spiritual master. And that process goes all the way back to Krishna, to the original spiritual master. So our Srila Prabhupada had his spiritual master named Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's father was a great devotee and acharya, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. But it is the etiquette that the father does not give initiation to the son. There's a similar etiquette in the medical profession, that a doctor will not perform surgery on his wife or child. So although Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur had many disciples and was a fully self-realized soul and empowered representative of Krishna and Krishna Chaitanya, but he would not give initiation to his son. But he directed his son to take shelter of Srila Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj, who was also a fully self-realized soul, completely detached from the material world and fully absorbed in feelings of separation from Radha and Krishna. So, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was extraordinarily brilliant and learned. He had a photographic memory. Whatever he read once, he would remember. And in his school days, he read all the books in the school library, and he knew the contents of every book. And in the end, the school had to buy more books just for him. Srila Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj was hardly literate. He could hardly even sign his own name. And Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur instructed his son to take shelter of Srila Gaurakishore Das Babaji. Now, the qualification of the spiritual master is that he should know the scripture and teach it and practice it. Those are the simple functions, the primary functions of the spiritual master. And although Srila Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj could hardly read, but he would have people read to him, and he had very deep realizations about the scripture, and even learned scholars would approach him with their questions about the sacred texts. So Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur advised his son that you should approach Shiva Gaura Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj for initiation. Now, Shiva Gaura Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj did not, he was absorbed in the mellows of loving service to Radha and Krishna. And he did not really accept disciples. But on his father's order, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta, he wasn't called that then, but he approached Srila Gaura Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj. And Babaji Maharaj avoided him. He said, I will have to ask Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So then, when Srila Bhakti Siddhanta returned home, his father asked him, what happened? Did he accept you? And he said, no. And he told him what happened. He said, oh, this is very bad. This is very bad. He did not accept you. You have to go back and beg him to accept you. So he went back and with great eagerness he inquired, so what did Chaitanya Mahaprabhu say? Of course, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was present on earth about 500 years ago, and the incident we're discussing took place about 100 years ago, a little more. So when he said that he would consult or ask Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was referring in a spiritual sense, out of his personal realization and contact with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, not in a physical sense. So Srila Bhakti Siddhanta went back and asked, did you ask him? What did he say? And Gaura Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj avoided him again. And he said, I'm sorry, I forgot to ask. In other words, it wasn't very important, so it slipped my mind. And it is said that one must be able to pass the test of the spiritual master. So Srila Bhakti Siddhanta was being tested. So again he went back, and his father asked him what happened. Again he told him that Srila Gaura Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj had indirectly refused. He had avoided him. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, you know, somehow or other you have to get his mercy. So it is said that Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was in a very distraught state. And he was walking by the Ganges. And he was singing a song by Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur to the Vaishnava spiritual master, that Kandiya Kandiya, that if you are not merciful to me, I will simply weep and I will not be able to maintain my life any longer. So he came to that state. And at that time, Srila Gaura Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj appeared And he understood the heart of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, that he had come to that stage, that if you are not merciful to me, I will simply weep and I will not be able to maintain my life any longer. And then he accepted him. Now, speaking about this incident, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Now, Srila Prabhupada does not accept that what Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said was actually true, but that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta was saying it to instruct us, which is certainly true. It was very instructive. But what he said later was that I was very puffed up by my academic knowledge, and not just academic knowledge, by his strict moral principles. And neither of those are qualifications for receiving the mercy of the Lord or the devotee. The only qualification is the sincere desire to serve and to receive their mercy. And he said that by the way Srila Gaurakishore Das Babaji dealt with him, he very mercifully caused him to give up his false pride in his learning, his knowledge, his moral character and principles. And he was actually able to accept him in the proper mood of a disciple, which is as a beggar of mercy, nothing more. So, Srila Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj was, as I mentioned, fully absorbed in the mellows of serving Radha and Krishna within himself. Even among transcendentalists, devotees, there are two categories. Bhajan Anandi and Gosti Anandi. Bhajan Anandi takes pleasure in his own personal spiritual advancement and practices. And sometimes he may go to preach, but mainly he's absorbed in relishing the bliss of bhajan, devotional service to Krishna. And Gosti Anandi is someone who relishes bliss in distributing Krishna consciousness to others. So Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur was a Gosti Anandi. He preached very extensively in East India, especially Bengal and Orissa. But he had a vision to preach throughout the world. And he wrote a book called The Life and Precepts of Lord Chaitanya. And he sent in English. And he sent copies to libraries throughout the world. That was in the year 1886. which happened to be the year of Srila Prabhupada's birth. And there is some significance to that. And so Gaurakishore Das Babaji was a Bhajananandi, and he advised Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, his disciple, not to go to Calcutta, because Calcutta was a place of material allurements or Maya. So he advised him not to go to Calcutta. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta remained in Mayapur, which is maybe 90 miles north of Calcutta, 70 or 90 miles. And he was doing intense chanting of the holy names, but also writing literature on bhakti, translating literature related to bhakti. And one, you know, some young men came to him, recognizing his scholarship and spiritual position, and they suggested you should come to Calcutta. In Calcutta, you'll be able to meet many people. You'll have more people to hear your message in Calcutta. And so he went. And later, commenting on this, Srila Prabhupada said that, you know, Srila Gaurakishore Das Babaji told my Guru Maharaj not to go to Calcutta. But he went. So does that mean that my Guru Maharaj disobeyed his spiritual master? And Srila Prabhupada replied, no, because he was never in Calcutta. He was always in Vaikuntha, in the spiritual world. So fortunately, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta did go to Calcutta, and our Srila Prabhupada met him in Calcutta. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta instructed him that he should go to the West and preach Krishna consciousness in the English language. And that was also the desire of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So, although one could say that Srila Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj didn't preach, but he did, through Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He had an immense wealth of spiritual realization. And he gave that to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and he distributed it. It's as if I have $1 million, but I don't distribute it myself. I give it to someone and I say, you distribute it. So indirectly, I'm distributing. And so Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he distributed that wealth of Krishna consciousness that he received from his Guru Maharaj. And although he would meet his Guru Maharaj on occasion, but he was very busy, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, with his bhajan and with his preaching and teaching. And so once someone questioned him that you don't meet your Guru Maharaj so much. And, you know, the spiritual master is the critical point in one's devotional service. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and I think that man who asked the question was a naval person. Or maybe they happened to be on a boat. But Srila Bhakti Siddhanta replied that what you say may be true, but my Guru Maharaj is like the motor that powers the boat. Although you don't see it, but all the power that propels the boat comes from the motor. So similarly, all the preaching that I'm doing, the power is coming from my Guru Maharaj. And sometimes Srila Gaura Kishore Das Babaji would quietly enter into an assembly where Srila Bhakti Siddhanta was speaking. And at one such gathering, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta began to glorify his spiritual master. And then he noticed at the very back, Srila Gaura Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj had been standing there and listening. And only when he began to glorify him did he notice him. And at that stage, Srila Gaura Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj turned around and walked out. He didn't want to hear himself praised. So we are very indebted to Srila Gaura Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj and all of our acharyas, but especially our recent acharyas, of course Srila Prabhupada, then Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, then Srila Gaura Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj, and then Srila Bhakti Siddhanta's father, Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur, because they really had the vision to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. And it is because of their efforts and their mercy that we are here now. So we are very obliged to them. And on this occasion we should rededicate ourselves to their service and redouble our efforts to follow their instructions, to go deep in our own Krishna consciousness, and to share Krishna consciousness with others. As Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, the best Gosti Anandi is a Bhajan Anandi who preaches. In other words, the best preacher is one who relishes internally Krishna consciousness like a Bhajan Anandi, but he preaches. So on this occasion we offer our prostrated obeisances to them and beg for their mercy that we can be proper instruments in their hands. Hare Krishna. So we have a few minutes. Are there any questions or comments? Yes, Coral. Yes, please repeat so we can hear.
When inquiring about our eternal position on Sanatana Dharma, how does one know their personal service to Krishna?
Yes, that is a good question. Well, first, Sadharma. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Jive Swarupai Krishna Nityadas, that our constitutional position is we're eternal servants of Krishna. So she's asking, how do we know what our personal service is? Well, there are certain principles that apply to every devotee, and five in particular are especially potent. Nam Sankirtana, chanting the holy name, Bhagavat Shravana, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, Sadhu Sangha, associating with advanced devotees, Mathura Vasa, residing in a holy place like Mathura Vrindavan or Mayapur, and Murti Sharanvita Sevana, worshipping the deity with faith and veneration. So these are duties for all of us. And then as far as our particular service, it would depend on our capacity and the need. You may have an inclination to cook, so you can cook for Krishna. You might have an inclination to paint, so you can paint for Krishna. An inclination to manage, so you can manage for Krishna. Inclination to clean, so you can clean for Krishna. Excuse me, please keep the door closed. So, but then there's also need. There may be, you may feel that your inclination is to stay back and cook. But we may have enough cooks, and we might need people to go out and distribute prasad. So ultimately, whatever instruction you receive from the spiritual master or higher authority, spiritual master means not only one's initiating spiritual master, but any senior devotee who represents the parampara, and you take that as your life and soul. But ultimately, the principle is to always remember Krishna and never forget him. So whatever the particulars of the service are, you should always remember Krishna and never forget him. That will fulfill everything. Hare Krishna. So, I'm not sure how much time we have, but at any moment the curtains could open. So I think we will just fulfill the Yuga Dharma, especially recommended for this age of chanting the holy names. Every acharya has recommended that. Every teacher will tell you that. Every good friend will tell you that. Even a good child will tell you that you should chant Hare Krishna. So please repeat. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So now we can rise for Damodar Astakam and offer your lamp to Lord Damodar. Hare Krishna.